Broadcasting life and truth around the world, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The mission of CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast is to teach discernment and to defend the essential doctrines of the historic Christian faith. Each day, Hank answers questions with a passion for apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering the cults. For more information about CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To begin today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It is always such a pleasure to be in studio. I've been doing this for 3 decades, and I love it every time. I thank the Lord. Before I come into the studio, I spend time in prayer. I do it consistently, and I always am grateful to the Lord for the opportunity to make a difference while there is yet time, and I'm truly grateful for those who stand with me in the battle for life and truth, because I cannot do it on my own, and so our partners are precious to me in a way that is just beyond belief. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. When you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. We're hoping that we can attract many people to the CRI monthly support team, attract people to become regular monthly givers. That will make such a difference to our ministry. You know, you fight these battles where you have deficit months and then you have to make it up. And when people join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, it alleviates so many of those issues. And again, you're not investing in time. You're also investing in eternity. You can join the support team online at equip.org/donate. When you do, please to personalize any one of my books to you, a family member or a friend. Lots of you calling in. We're going to go right to the phone calls. First up is Clifford, listening in Texas. Hi.
Hey, thank you, sir. I've been listening to you for quite a while. My question is, in the 1,000 years that Jesus reigns here on earth, they will be children born at that time. And us that are in that time, can we fall in sin at that time and still not go to the glory, to the great white throne judgment and go to heaven with him? Or, I mean, you know, they will be children born, I'm sure, wouldn't they? And could we still have sin?
Well, I think there's a problem with the premise of the question, because I don't think that it is right to suppose that there will be people born after Jesus Christ appears a second time. What Scripture makes very, very plain is that when he appears, all who are in the graves will come out. Some will rise to live, and some will rise to be eternally condemned. There will not be those who bear children in the new time-space continuum. Heaven is the homeland. Earth is the breeding colony, as has been well said. So I don't think that we have to project children being born after Jesus appears a second time.
I see. Okay. Well, that's what I've been pondering on, because I've been studying the Bible for quite a while and listening to you, and I have several questions, but that was one of them. And that sounds, right and biblical, what you said. And I just thank you, sir, for your ministry, and I just praise God for blessing you the way he does.
Appreciate your call, Clifford, and back to the phone lines. Michael next in Denver, Colorado. Hi.
Hi, Hank. How are you tonight?
I'm well, thank you.
And God bless your ministry and your family.
Appreciate it.
I have a question about chapter 11 in Leviticus, about what we should eat and what God says to eat, that we won't be an abomination.
Well, the Bible does not render shellfish or other foods that were part of the dietary laws of a theocracy to be an abomination in our culture. So we can't take the laws of a theocratic kingdom and apply them in a modern-day democracy. There are people, Obama comes to mind, who says that the Bible calls eating such things as shellfish an abomination, but he's simply wrong. What we need to do is read the Scripture and test what people are saying, again, in light of the Scriptures. Jesus said, "Don't you see that nothing that enters a man from the outside can make him unclean?" And he gave a reason for that. He said it doesn't go into his heart, but it goes into his stomach, and then out of his body. And Mark says, in saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. His point was that food is not the source of moral defilement, but rather moral defilement comes from the heart. And so this was explained very, very clearly by our Lord, who also said, "Do not call impure what God has made clean." So the dietary laws, the civil and ceremonial laws, fulfilled in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and therefore do not hold sway today.
Wonderful. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Hank.
You got it. Written about this in my book, Has God Spoken?, a book available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can check it out on the web at equip.org. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to George next. He's listening in Canada, Edmonton, Alberta, CJCA. Hi, George.
Hello, Hank. I was wondering what the veil is that's used in connection with space-time.
Well, I've used the word veil as a metaphor, a way of talking about the separation between the habitation of God and the habitation of humanity. And so what I've pointed out is that when Jesus appears a second time, the space-time continuum that we're experiencing now will be conjoined with the habitation of God. So there'll no longer be separation. So imagine right now that Jesus Christ is as near to you as the very flesh upon your bones, and yet you cannot see him. He is near to you, but you cannot see him. When he appears a second time, the very thought of his appearing connotes we will be able to see and experience him. So the veil, as it were, will be lifted, sort of like a wedding veil being lifted, and now you see the face in full, and so it will be with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Okay, yeah, so I guess it would be the same as the dimensional barrier that's used by other apologists like Dr. Hugh Ross. I suppose that, yeah, that's interesting, but this was... what I came up or came across, the idea of a dimension barrier uses dimension construction, but it ignores the rules of dimension analysis, algebra, and vector analysis.
Well, none of that applies to what I'm saying. I'm simply using the word veil as a metaphor, a way of explaining that right now we do not see our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but one day he will appear. He will be visible to us. And as I said, the habitation of God and the habitation of humanity will be conjoined as one. No longer will there be a barrier or a separation. But again, I'm simply using language that we can attain to in order to talk about the fact that now what is separate then will be together.
Okay. I suppose I should ask you about space-time, but I heard that Scripture confirms that time is not a dimension entity, that verses like Job 36:26 make it clear that time is not a dimension entity.
Yeah, I think this is one of the great, great problems that we face today. People trying to read scientific paradigms into scriptural passages. I think this is a huge, huge mistake. People do it with the book of Job all the time. So they see in the book of Job, and you mentioned Hugh Ross, he does this as well. You see that he uses language like he alone stretches out the heavens and treads upon the waves of the sea. And so the idea is that somehow or other, this is Job teaching Big Bang cosmology. Well, Big Bang cosmology may be true, but you can't get it out of this passage. This is a huge, huge problem in terms of what we call hermeneutics, the art and science of biblical interpretation. In my book, The Creation Answer Book, I actually have an entry on that. I asked the question, what about trying to read or find contemporary scientific paradigms in scriptural passages? Big mistake. We'll be right back.
Why do we still feel restless when things seem to be going our way? How can suffering bring more peace than success brings? What does Jesus' cross teach us about how to live a full and flourishing life? These are some of the questions Pastor Rankin Wilborn and philosopher Brian Greger address in their new book, The Cross Before Me. The cross of Jesus is not just the way to salvation, but the way to the abundant life. This unique book helps us reimagine the good life as we learn to surrender our own power and embrace the life-giving weakness of the cross. Be sure to read The Cross Before Me. To receive your copy, call 888-7000-CRI and support the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.
In the new book, The Cross Before Me, Pastor Rankin Wilborn and philosopher Brian Greger offer a provocative perspective on why the cross is not just the way to salvation, but the way to the abundant life. Drawing on biblical truth and historical writings, they ask, why do we still feel restless when things seem to be going our way? How can suffering bring more peace than success brings? And what does Jesus' cross teach us about how to live a full and flourishing life? This unique book helps us reimagine the good life as we learn to delight in surrendering our own power and embracing the life-giving weakness of the cross. Be sure to read The Cross Before Me. To receive your copy, call 888-7000-CRI and support the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
Every Bible Answer Man broadcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, is made possible through the financial support of friends like you. Each month, we depend entirely on God's provision through His people to bring you more of the broadcast, podcast, and other resources you rely on. If you want a sound proclamation and defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Call 888-7000-CRI and stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Once again, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone calls. Next up is Carol Ann, listening in Canada, CHRB. Hi, Carol Ann.
Hi, Hank. Thanks very much for taking my call. Two things. I'm absolutely blown away by the number of innocent lives that have been lost to abortion. I had no idea it was that many. So I just offer prayers to moms and dads and siblings and to these babies, and especially to the doctors and the nurses who perform these outrageous, dare I say, surgeries. I use that term very lightly. But secondly, I have a question about the Leviathan in the Bible. God talks about crushing his head and then scattering all his parts to the beasts of the desert. But I don't know what the Leviathan is. Can you help me out with that?
Sure. Kind of interesting because there are a lot of opinions about Leviathan. You find Leviathan as well as Behemoth in Job 40 and Job 41. But you have to understand what Job is. It's a literary polemic. It's a written indictment against the gods of the ancient Near Eastern mythology. So not only were the pagans literally supplanted by people of the promise, but their mythological narratives were literarily supplanted by the metanarrative, or the overarching story of the Bible. So what's going on in Job is kind of cool. You have a literary progression that moves from creation to creatures to the cherub. Now, I alliterated that because otherwise I can't remember these things. But the progression goes from creation to creatures to the cherub. And when I'm talking about the cherub here, I'm talking about the one who once ranked first in the order of creation. And of course, we're talking about Satan. So did Job, the primal monster of the land, like the primal monster of the sea, was indomitable. But to Jehovah, Behemoth and Leviathan were like mere pets on a divine leash. So here's the literary progression of the Bible. The monster is vanquished. And that's what Isaiah says later on. He says, Leviathan, the gliding serpent. Leviathan, the coiling serpent, God will slay the monster of the sea. Which is a way of saying that ultimately Satan will have no more rule on this earth. And this is what happens when Jesus appears a second time. The problem of sin and Satan is forever done away with. In the meantime, we have to put on the full armor of God so that we can take our stand against principalities and powers of darkness.
That answers my question. That's quite intense, but I'll do some more research, so I'd like to thank you for your time.
You got it. Thanks so much for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Kevin. He's listening in West Virginia, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, Hank. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing very good. I'd like to first thank you for your ministry and my increased vocabulary in response to listening to you so much, and your encouragement for in-depth Bible study. And I've got a question about that. I'm really blessed to have a wife that enjoys an in-depth Bible study as much as I do. We spend many hours in conversation about different things in the Bible. And during our Bible study, per se, as you encourage us to dig deeper into the Word, we just cannot come to the conclusion that there is a pre-tribunal rapture where we're all pulled out and escape whatever may be going on or whatever may be coming. I just don't see a precedent for that in the Old Testament, nor do we find it in the scriptures that they used to support the pre-tribunal rapture. And I'm just, we're in a situation where we are probably the only ones in our local church that don't believe in that. And it's, I don't know that it's a written doctrine for our church, but I believe that they think it is more of an essential than we do. And I'm just wondering what your take is on those of us that try to go deeper and try to find the truth in God's word and find something that may not, you know, jive with our local church. Is it something we should just keep quiet about? Or, I mean, like I said, we don't see it as an essential.
Well, it's not an essential. It's a secondary issue. An essential is unity, non-essential is liberty, in all things charity. But I think there should be an openness to dialogue. This is one of the great blessings I've had at the Christian Research Institute. It is working with a lot of people over a protracted period of time who don't necessarily hold the same positions that I do. If everyone agreed with me 100% at the Christian Research Institute, I'd never be stretched myself. So I'm constantly being challenged by others. But this is in the area of secondary issues, and we debate them vigorously. I can tell you about some people who are very significant in this ministry, have been here for over 20 years, that held that view. But in dialogue, with gentleness and with respect, thankfully they've changed their view. But I can reverse this just as easily. There are those at the Christian Research Institute who have had a deep impact on some of the views I've previously held. But because we have collegial debate and openness, we've discussed these matters, and as a result of that, I have seen more light. So I think this is what it takes. It takes an openness within the body of Christ. Now, obviously, it is the essentials of the historic Christian faith that form the line of demarcation between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults, and we can't violate those essentials.
Right. With that being put aside, I would have to say that my wife and I absolutely love our church. It's a Bible-believing, baptizing, evangelizing, very active, very healthy church. And I just, you know, I didn't know whether to just kind of be quiet about that without trying to cause any dissension in there, or whether a discussion would be warranted or even needed.
Well, it's a wonderful discussion because it takes in the whole of Scripture in many ways. People that hold to pre-tribulational rapture theory do so because they believe that the Bible teaches that God has two distinct people with two distinct destinies, and that necessitates two different phases of the second coming, a second coming and a secret coming, the secret coming preceding the second coming. So there's a reason people have the view that they have. Now, biblically, I think that you can make the view plain that the Bible teaches that God has only ever had one people. So if you look in the Old Testament, you find a mixed company leaving Egypt because you have those of Egypt that believe in the Yahweh, God of Israel, just like the Jewish people believe in Yahweh, the God of Israel. They've seen the miracles, they've seen the signs, and so they leave with the Israelites in the exile. And the same thing happens when you look at some of the great, great people in biblical history, like Ruth, a Moabite. She was the arch enemy of Israel, but she was transformed by Yahweh, the God of Israel, and became a follower, and now she's in the lineage of Jesus Christ. You see this on both sides of the cross. You get to the New Testament, you find Peter seeing a vision three times. And what's interesting about that vision is I was asked a question about clean and unclean food. I didn't think about this at the time, but the food in the vision, some clean, some unclean. And Peter's told to eat. And Peter says, I'm not going to eat anything that's unclean. And the vision is removed, and then it appears again, appears three times. And finally, Peter hears the words, don't call unclean what I have called clean. And then Peter gets it. Ah, he says, now I understand God does not show favoritism. And so he had a change of heart. Well, that change of heart came directly as a result of God's communication with him. And I think we ought to follow that same pattern. We ought to communicate with one another and say, does the Bible really teach two people of God, one that is going to replace the other, as though there's some kind of replacement theory that we can adhere to or attain to? And the answer, I think, biblically is no. But this is a discussion you have by actually kind of going through the scriptures. And I've done this with people, and, you know, some people are very, very set in their ways. And at first they say, I don't want to really hear this. I say, well, you know, if you want to talk about it sometime, let me know. But I don't think it's any one of our positions as Christians to try to force feed anybody else. We need to be equipped so that when we do have the opportunity to speak, we do so not in vainglory and not with a lot of bombast, but speak the truth in love. And again, be open to what other people have to say, because when you are, people will raise objections that you haven't heard before, and it'll just sharpen the iron. Be right back here tomorrow, Lord willing, answering questions. So stay tuned for that. My apologies to those that I didn't get to today. Hopefully we can talk to you tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.